Willkommen zu Elterngedöns, dem Podcast rund um Erziehung und Leben mit Kindern.
Hi, welcome to this episode. My name is Christopher and I'm a parent coach and this is a special episode, at least in my humble opinion. First of all, it's the first time I conduct an interview in English. And second and much more important, we have a great guest on today. Her name is Navanita Harris. For more than 40 years, she's teaching on mindfulness, on body, on movement, on meditation, dance. And well, she's a special person, I can tell you. The way she combined the mindfulness with body work and humor, I think this is genius. Her life has been quite a journey, and in this episode she reveals how she survived a really terrible accident, what she learned, how we can connect with our body and the body wisdom, and how parents can support their children so that the child will stay in touch with this body wisdom, with inner wisdom. Hello, Navanita.
Hello, Christopher.
Nice to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Would you just introduce yourself in some sentence, who you are and what you do?
Who I am?
Yeah.
Isn't that an eternal question? I'm a somatic movement educator and a dance meditation teacher and a body speaks facilitator. I've been teaching 40 years.
Wow.
And in 21 different countries I've been teaching. So I have a lot of connection with different cultures. And I have a love affair with my work. And personally, I love to move, the movement and the stillness. And as a child, I was always interested in the body and the meditation. When I was 9, I was stretching in school, and in a side stretch had a bliss attack or a satori or whatever we want to call it.
Really?
Yeah, I disappeared.
Oh, my God.
I disappeared, and then I was in total bliss. And then wanted to know what that was, and then kept pursuing different physical activities to find this nothing space or this empty space or this stillness that came. And as a child, I also danced in the bush. Mm. I danced and sang with the nature.
Oh.
So it's kind of my life story. And then I was a runner, being pushed towards the Olympics, and the gift with the running was the same thing. I was a sprinter, 100 and 200, and when you're totally fit, there's also disappearing, constantly disappearing without. And I once saw a film of me, and everybody was making a lot of effort, and I was like a deer, just kind of looping with this effortlessness.
Yeah.
So that's always been curiosity of how to support the effortlessness.
Mm.
And with dancing, I was asked many times as a teenager where to get the drug when people saw me dancing. I say, you don't need a drug, you just let go. So already very, very long hours of just complete abandonment in the dance.
Oh.
So life. And then began talking to the body when I was 19. With my pursuing of stretching, I went into yoga. I did quite a few different styles of yoga, and it wasn't really what I was looking for. I didn't want the technique so much. I wanted the presence. So I found a book, Bob, I forgot his name, Bob. Loved the book, took the book with me to the top of Australia, asked some friends if I could stay at their place and have a retreat.
Oh, yourself?
Yeah. Yes, And I had a yoga stretching retreat on my own.
Oh.
And there I discovered talking to the body.
Oh.
When I was in the silent phase, then there was an answer to my question.
Oh.
And then I asked, where did the answer come from? And it said, inside you. And that's where the meditation really starts. Began with inquiry, what is this? And then when I was in, I'm a school teacher, trained school teacher. And when I was in school teacher training, I was also attending different dance classes and movement workshops. And I was kind of running two programs at the same time. And there something happened also with the understanding of it's more, something's more than just the dance or the the body or...
And then you had this terrible accident, huh?
I wouldn't call it terrible.
Terrible, okay.
I wouldn't call it terrible.
Not now.
No. I had a dream 6 months before the accident that both legs were broken.
Oh, my God.
And I woke up and I said to... I think I was staying with an organizer in Taiwan. And I said to her, I just had a dream, but I don't think it's a dream.
Oh.
And then on the night of the accident, I missed... two connectors to the bus, one taxi and one bicycle, motorbike pickup. And then I asked the inner voice, am I to go on? And it said yes. And when I got on the bus driver was glowing iridescent colors. And I went, whoa, this is really something. I thought I'm having an allergy attack. And then the voice, inner voice, because I had a seat behind him, said, do not sit behind him.
Hmm.
You need to sit at the back of the bus.
Okay.
So, and he was killed. The driver was killed in the accident. And they say in India, it could be also the lawyers hiding something. We don't really know. And then when we stopped for dinner, again, I was standing under this incredible canopy of stars in India. And again, I could feel something. And I said, maybe I just catch a taxi to Pune. Maybe I don't need to actually go on the bus. And the inner voice said, you had to go on. So it was like, okay. And when we started to roll, I heard the words, this is the next step in your dance.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So there was a yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. And then when I left the body, I had a near-death experience. And when I came back, I was above the body, and there was like a scanning through the body if it was capable of healing, I guess.
Oh,
it was like, and the messages would come back, your lungs are not pierced. Your organs are not pierced. And then came a very clear message, do not panic. If you panic, you will affect your capacity. And then I asked the question, what if the bus rolls? And then it was very non-emotional. It said, you'll die. Well, it'll be too much. But don't panic. So it was a clear guidance, continuing. And, you know, you can't be frightened with that.
Hmm.
You're just connected to something really there. And then it really began when the first hospital they took us to, they wouldn't take Western people.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we had to be moved again, which was quite something, no? Because you had some people critical. I mean, I was critical, basically. And then they took us to this hospital and he x-rayed me. And he said, madam, your head is not damaged. And I was really laughing. I said, you don't know me at all. There, I realized my humor was still there. And then he said, but your two legs are very... badly, call it badly, he said badly smashed. We will need to operate. And you need blood. I said, look, I'm so AIDS conscious, I don't want to take blood, if that's okay for you. No, I didn't say if it's okay for you. And he said, if you don't take blood, you'll die. And I said, okay, then I'll have some things. Again, the humour. The humour was there. And then I had to identify somebody who was in the bus on the table beside me who was not in the body anymore.
Okay.
And then I could see I was not emotional. I just said, yes, he was. He was the man. This was very touching. He was the man that said to me, Madam, are you okay? This is after the accident, one of the passengers. And I, because I'd had the near-death experience, I was in a complete non-physical space where you're free of the body, it's emptiness, there's nothing. And as he said, Madam, are you okay? It meant I needed to take the bridge with communicating.
Yes.
And I said, I am okay. And in that moment, I realized for the first time I existed.
It
was a very auspicious moment. I am okay.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite something. And he was very caring. Very, I was the only woman on the bus also. Very, very heartful. I had a lot of care when the bus rolled down a hill and the body was continually telling me how to stay conscious.
Oh, really?
Very beautiful. I'd lie down and go, you can only stay down so long, please get up again. You can't stay down too long, you'll go unconscious.
So the whole work you did before with the body helped you in this moment?
Master's degree.
Okay.
Ultimate master's degree. No doubt, no nothing, no nothing in the way. Just
okay.
Just pure. Very clear, very clear. And the other one it did when I could see, my eye vision was not so clear. I noticed this, the left leg was rotated the wrong way around. Oh. The foot faced past my head. And it was like up and back. And I was like a child. I was really curious. I was like, how's that possible?
Ouch.
How's that possible? How's that possible? The doctors later, once they got me back to Pune after a week, were in silence. I had my friend, who's a sannyasin doctor, in the surgery for the first time, the first surgery. And he said they all went silent for a moment when they saw the x-rays and said, how did she make it?
Oh.
How did she make it?
Hmm.
That was something. And then the body was guiding me with how to put the body in position.
Hmm.
So I could bring the leg back.
Okay.
I could bring the leg back and put it in a position that was pretty pain-free, neutral. And then this incredible peace came. It took the people, I think, 2 hours to find us. No one saw that we were down the hill. Yeah. And when they came down, they were at the top of the bus, you know, because we're on the side. And I saw these people lean in and they said, Madam, please reach your arms and we're going to pull you through. And the arm went, no. The arm just went, no. Mm-hmm. And later we found out I had a broken back. If they had pulled me through.
Yeah. Okay.
So the body also stopped it.
Yeah.
That was very clear. No. It just was like, no. And very loving. They were not, they said, don't worry, we're going to find another way to get you.
My.
Very caring.
Mm.
Then they came to the back of the bus. They pulled us out on blankets, carried us up the hill, not on stretchers, but on blankets, and then put us in the back of a metal truck, an army truck with no mattresses. My body once again said, go in this position.
Yes.
I was very quiet. People around me were screaming. A lot of pain, no?
There's
a lot of... But I had found a very neutral, still position to stay present. Then when they got us to the first hut, we didn't get taken to a hospital, we got taken to a hut. And they pulled us in and I was throwing up and the nurse said, I need to give you a needle. And I said, you can't, I'm AIDS conscious. Please,
yeah.
I don't take a needle. And I can't see. By then my eyes had numbed it all out, I guess, overloaded information. And the head had been hit. And she was also very caring. She said, the packet is not open. I'm going to crumple it against your ear so you can hear that it's a new... Then I knew I was connected. It was very... A lot of love. A lot of care from the people until we got to the next hospital.
And so after this... You told me once you had this incredible healing...
The whole thing was amazing. The whole thing. I could write a whole book about this. My man always says, please get... Many people say, please get a book out. Someone said they want to do this with me and write.
Oh.
She said, I'll just interview you.
Yes, sounds like a good idea.
She said, because I told her many stories and she said this would inspire so many
people. Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
So what was the diagnosis afterwards, after hospital? What did the doctors tell you?
After hospital?
Yeah. After the surgery?
7 surgeries.
Seven.
The first thing was you'll probably never walk again.
Yes.
That was the first.
Mm.
And then they realized what they had. He said, I've never seen anything like this.
Wow.
He said, you're just smiling and you're... What are you doing? I said, it's meditation and love. So he was very interested. We had a very heartful connection.
Wow.
He was very good surgeon. Many stories there, Christopher. Many amazing things. Really. Fuck-ups from their side also, but I never... They apologized a few times, I said.
Oh, really?
Really. One guy nearly killed me because he said, I'm going to do something in the morning and I don't know if you want me to keep speaking about this.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's only, you just see. Anyway, he did something that I had a feeling was not right and I told him it was not right. And I hemorrhaged. There was blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
It was just red everywhere. And they were panicking. We were in intensive care. He was panicking. The nurses were panicking. And I quietly said, please get my doctor.
Mm.
And he said, what's the telephone number? So with the blood going everywhere, I had to look in the book.
Oh, my gosh.
The telephone number. And then I saw they were panicking. So I went, okay, you know, there's a liter of blood stored. We stored. And he goes, did you hear it? Get the blood. And then he was pumping and he couldn't stop the blood. Mm. And then they were trying to put needles in the arm. And I said, you can't, I'm really sorry, but that arm has been needled so many times.
Yes.
I suggest this arm. At that point, he said, please, she's on the team.
Oh,
listen to her.
Oh.
It was really heartful, really. And then my friend, the doctor, came in and he was really joking with me. This was really... And then...
In all this blood.
Yeah. Yeah, he was bringing the humour in.
Yes, from the outside.
The humour was always good.
Yeah.
We did a lot together. Anyway, that night, the doctor came and I had a nurse... They had to have a full-time nurse because there was a couple of situations where two times I said, I think I'm leaving, and then they pulled in a full-time nurse. And she got in the bed with me after, and we were holding each other.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Mm. That was really something with us. And then he came later. I had two doctors. Mm. My doctor, the trust guy, didn't do it.
Mm.
And this guy's name was Dr. Dumley, and I used to always call him Dr. Dum Dum. because he was really jealous of me and the connection with the other doctor. Anyway, he comes in and he looks at me and he says, I need to apologize.
Oh.
I didn't listen to you.
Mm.
And then he namaste'd
mm.
and he said, I forgot to see God in you.
Oh. Mm.
This was... Yeah. No, so the whole journey was more inquiry, meditation, practice of what I've been cultivating.
Okay, okay. And I just always saw this was the beginning of the journey, no, no. It started far earlier.
The doctors also said because I was so fit, they felt it had a lot to do with the recovery. Basically, it was that I already had the connection to the wisdom of the body.
Yeah.
It was not... I honestly don't know, Christopher, how people make it if they don't. I don't know how... First of all, how you deal with 30 broken bones in such intense pain if you're not able to witness. It's...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's sometimes I think, that's why sometimes I think the book is useful because I'm really concerned how people are dealing with giving responsibility to the medical profession, first of all adults, and handing over the responsibility of children, where I feel children should be supported from the very beginning with recognizing they have the connection, everybody has it. There's nobody who doesn't have a connection with this intelligence or wisdom.
Yeah, my feeling is very young children are just the body.
And connected to what it needs.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is
they know. They yes, cry they know. If they don't get what they need. So they're very in connection.
Yes. And this is what needs cultivating.
Yeah, and then something happens. At a point, we lose this.
No, we're wisdom. Told that other people know. Basically, that's all. It is a misunderstanding where we got conditioned to believe somebody knows better than we do.
So what should parents do?
The parents themselves, I feel, need to be reunited with their bodies. It begins... Also, before the children, with the parents, with recognizing their own needs.
Yeah.
The word when you use need is very important. Most people, as parents, don't even recognize they have needs. Mm. They're very busy taking care of survival needs, family needs, emotional needs of the kids, but not their own.
Yeah.
So that, I would say, is a priority, the emotional needs and the physical needs and cultivating. Not you have a society at the moment who has brought in more body in the form of yoga and other martial arts and everything.
Yeah.
However, many are doing something to the body. So a fitness industry. I'm a trained fitness educator also. Yeah. So I know what's out there.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing has to be reoriented or something. And I don't think it's a complicated thing.
Okay.
I don't think it's...
Well, this is what it looks like to me. Like the whole society is far away from...
Body.
From body and from ourselves.
Yeah.
And families are under so much pressure.
Yeah.
And parents... A lot of parents look at the child. They... the attachment, parenting...
Yes.
Is very... Look at the child...
Fulfill and their needs through the child.
Yes, like the bonding and the breastfeeding and the sleeping together. So there's a lot of emphasis on this, but on the other side, a lot of people or parents are struggling, really.
Mm.
What should they do?
Slow down.
Slow down.
First. Yeah. Have a bit more fun.
Yeah. I was hoping you would say that.
That's really something, no? That there's, and also the connection to nature.
Yes.
You need to really get the parents and the kids back in nature and not so much with classes and systems and organizations just get out there with, you know, the trees and the water and the grass and natural. I guess that's a big word, return to being natural. No?
Mm-hmm. You have to be in nature to be natural. Mm. Or at least it helps.
Yeah. Yes, it's a reflection. Mm-hmm. It's a reflection where you don't have a, you should be like this and you should be like that. Yeah. Those trees just embrace you when you arrive there.
Yeah. My impression is always is like the whole play, the way that children playing is changing if they're outdoors than indoors.
And I'm hearing a lot of school teachers concerned because of the so much connection indoors to the machines and the computers and the emphasis on the technology and them being absorbed by the technology. I just heard there's a great, I don't know the name, but there's a person, I think it's in Hamburg, he's creating a thing with teenagers where they're actually introducing, for example, to one school they introduced having no plastic.
Yes.
And then they bring in water fountains where people have to have their water bottles and this sort of stuff. And the teenagers are being given the sustainability vision to play with. So they're being given responsibility. And I was talking to one of the creators of this and she said, they know we're in trouble. You know, they know.
Yes.
But they're not being asked.
Yes.
It's missing the respect for the intelligence of the younger ones also.
And if they're asked, it's not, there's nothing done about it.
Yes.
Like
they are really creating projects where, and then some councils and that are now paying for that. They're really brought in a few in Germany. I don't really know where because we just met on the train and I was fascinated. Yeah.
So what can parents do? You said
lie on
slow
the
down.
Floor more.
Lie on the floor more.
Get on the ground and roll around on the ground with kids.
Okay, no special exercise, just roll on the floor.
In the embodiment practice we have this yielding. We call it yielding or bonding with gravity. Yes. I find this, if that comes into a daily practice, for example, we're sitting on the couch now, while your attention may be forward, you're able to sense the back of your back in contact with the chair and the cushions. So you arrive in presence and comfort in yourself. And that comfort reinforces the body of this orientation.
Yeah.
So if you as an adult are rebuilding orientation on comfort, you're communicating that to the children slowly as you take it on.
Ah, okay. So I'm not teaching the children by telling something?
No, by living and sharing it.
Ah, okay. But experience on my own and...
Yeah.
Then it's...
Yeah. It's co-created. It's not education. There's a beautiful quote from Osho where he says, education is not something we put into the system. It's inviting it to come out of the system. And I think this is what is supportive for remembering that the children have the resources and tools.
Yeah. So what I do with the children, when it's very aggressive or it's like yelling and shouting and crying and...
They must need it. I guess it's to be conscious of what that sensation is in the body, and maybe the shape of it. To draw the shape of that feeling, or the color of that feeling, or the movement of that feeling. That takes a little bit to play with it, to make it into a song or a
So in this moment when this happened, I would first. Come back to me.
Yeah, you need to find your midline.
Yeah.
That's the it's always two sides, no? If you can't handle your own, then to try and shut them up is actually not giving respect to the children, that they need to know how to express or feel an emotion, don't they? They don't want to just have it bottled up. On a personal level, I feel once we have more contact with the body and the ground and our location, the emotions settle down a little. They're not so overwhelming.
So if I, as a father, are settled down, then my children can settle down too?
You can support them also. Okay. Yeah. Frustration and disappointment, they got to know what it feels like. You can't, you know, they got to,
you can't take it.
They have to learn
they
how
have to go through
name
this.
What it is and what body position does it, you know, what does frustration feel like, and what's, like animals, different animals that express different.
Because, for example, this morning, you know, we want to leave, and then I have a little bit more time than my wife, but then my daughter, she exploded because she couldn't find her scarf. So, and then, I want it. I need it. And she really, really gets angry. So, and then I have time, but on the other side, I think, oh, we have to go, and so I can.
And can you come back to yourself before you communicate or understand?
Yeah. Maybe that's the point. Because I can see that she's in trouble and that she's angry, and I can name this. I say, oh, you're really angry about this. No?
Isn't that wonderful if you can say, I see you are angry, and not don't be angry?
But just while I'm telling you, I understand that I still want her to stop.
Yeah, and then you can be honest with that also. I think that's where learning truth in that way.
Yeah.
I actually see you're angry, and I understand that you're angry because you can't find it. I have a time pressure, and I want to go, so we have two different stories going on here. What are we going to do with the two different stories? By the way, I'm the authority. And I told you what to do. And meantime, I'm trying to help you to be free also. So we get these conflicting messages, don't we, from the parents? Yeah. There's some practices with the kids where you teach them to shake it out or to breathe. And then both of you can be practicing that also. Oh, wait a minute, we're getting frustrated. Let's make some that you get your own code, like you get your, let's make some bear growls, rah, and she'll probably tell you to shut up. But if you can find a way to go with it with that's an anger bear. I reckon it's, isn't it the same in any relationship? If somebody says, I see you the way you are, doesn't that give them space just to be like that? And then you also have every right to be seen the way you are, that you have a time factor. So if she's seen the way she is and you're seen the way you are, there's a respect that gets built there.
Yeah, and I see how she's changing and what... For example, there was a situation 2 days ago. Her brother came to me and said, oh, she wanted to hit me. And then we start to sort this out. And she said, no, I don't want to hit you. I just pretend to hit you. I didn't touch you. I just hit the air. Because you told me not to hit, but I have to go with my energy somewhere.
Beautiful.
With my aggression.
Beautiful.
And so I didn't touch you. I just hit the air.
Beautiful.
And it was in your direction, of course.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So she's completing a movement.
Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And you told me that's so important to
complete. Yes, to complete the movement.
Maybe you can say something about this for the listeners.
Oh,
Because we often say to our children, stop.
Yeah, stop.
They're crying and they say, stop, it's enough. Stop this crying. I hear this a lot with parents saying, stop, it's enough. it's enough crying, because children will or lose herself something sometimes in the crying.
Well, that's the regulation. That's a whole journey with teaching children how to regulate themselves with the amount of...
And they do need this regulation from us.
There's beautiful... I mean, this is beautiful things I learned with that is when, with little kids, you learn to do this, a game with, oh, this is the feeling of going really nice and easy, and then something happens where you get really, really built up, and then we have to learn a way that we can, it's okay, and come down again, and then it's okay, and then we breathe out, and then we take a rest, and then, and then it's quiet again. You know, so it's like, physical feeling, and if you go too far and go over and over and over, you're going to get exhausted. So to take it on a physical level, going really way over, and then feeling how that exhausts you. Theoretically, we have it till 1:30. I didn't know if that was a... that's the self-regulation things with kids, games. Yeah. They're wonderful.
Okay.
This sort of so practicing games. With them. Mm. Yeah, practicing with them where you feel it's quiet and then the body goes... And if you go too far, then you're really tired after.
Yeah.
But if you don't go all the way...
Yeah.
And then you settle a bit, and then you can do it a little bit more, and you settle a bit... The system learns how to regulate itself.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we're learning, not to shoot over and not to shoot under.
Okay, so there are those little games maybe.
Yeah, it's beautiful games. Yeah. Beautiful.
Okay.
Telling stories of
when
somebody gets really... And then the noises, you can make them together. And use body stamping or... clapping or excitement, and then if you go too the breath and then you lost yourself, and what if you come back and you feel here I am. Kids, I work so intuitively when I work with kids. It's really about listening. Not where you really listen, what they're really saying, not the words.
Yeah.
So listening games I think are beautiful.
Okay.
For both of you, where you really...
Yeah. What is a listening game, for example?
Different sounds. You make different sounds and guessing...
What it is?
Yeah.
Or repeating it?
Yeah, so it's... Huh? So you're listening.
Yeah.
You're listening. Rhythm games, clapping the same rhythm, repeating the rhythm, changing it.
Okay.
Speaking words, du, 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 I am, du, du, du. Du, 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 du. I am, du. Or du, 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 today is cold, du, 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 today I'm angry, du, 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 today I'm happy.
Yes, yes.
Different ways
emotions
of, that it moves through,
yeah.
It moves, and that it's not so serious, you can really play with it. I think this is the thing with...
With children anyhow play their normal state of being and learning.
Yeah, and containing, no? To notice what sort of container is needed. Where was it? I was working with a mother whose child had no container. We were learning to provide that child with an experiential perception of rebuilding their container.
Mm.
And it was really beautiful. They could... hide under a chair or under the table and know what that felt like if they really wanted to be safe or did they need it to come close in a blanket to be contained, or did they need actually
to
a
feel
hug?
It, to feel the containment.
To feel containment. Very important.
Okay.
Very, very, very understanding experientially in the body, and also understanding experientially how to ask for what they need.
Mm.
This is another practice. being able to feel that they need something. Yes. So practicing, I need my hat on, I need to find my scarf, I need, I need it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fun bit, there's a creative bit with it. I work more with the adults, but the parents come, or sometimes I have children.
I think the parents are the key to the children.
Yeah, and then getting both on together. Depends the age of the child. Yes. The young ones, you need to get on the ground with them. That's really clear.
Yeah.
It's really the same movements, movement games. They need to see you in the body also.
Okay.
Kids are not seeing parents in the body, or they're seeing them do their class or whatever, but it's not in the body, you know? It's not...
Yeah.
Not
you do something, you think you have to move this way just to...
Yeah.
Instead of feel what you have to do.
I remember one parent. Where were we? I work so intuitively, but she came and we were talking about jumping on the bed with the kid.
Yeah.
And she did. And she said her relationship completely changed because she started to play with the child more. And then instead of saying, don't jump on the bed, she got on the bed and jumped with them. I remember that one was quite profound. She said after that their relationship really...
Just by jumping.
Yes. And by her letting go of her
of course, you know.
Control.
Mm. And she left the child...
Lead her,
yes.
That's the big thing, yes, exactly. So follow the leader games and stuff with movement.
And if you let yourself be led by the child will be...
The child's going to tell you what they need. Yeah. That's clear.
The other side, it's more available to be led by you.
Yes.
By you.
Yeah, you're on listening the then. The parent is listening.
Yeah.
You know, there's this thing with flocking. It's called flocking, where you move together.
Mm.
You don't mirror, you move together.
Okay.
It's very beautiful
for
parents and childs, where they move together and see how their movements can be the same but not copying.
Mm.
And there's a resonance that happens with it.
Oh.
You can put music on or do it outside in nature or... That I know, that I've heard some beautiful things also from the parents.
Okay.
I remember teaching the immune system.
Yes.
In Taiwan, and school teachers taking this into the school.
Oh, really?
And having the kids, they said their kids got so interested in the body because of the moving, the immune system, the cell membrane would protect the. And then the immune system would come along and they'd be playing with the invader and the protector and the... And he said they got really, on their own, really wanted to know more about the body and fun and wild. Immune system is wild. So the killer cells and and the T cells and the B cells could be very... You know, and then you know that's part of our nature because we need, this is happening in the body, the whole...
constant fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now there's big scientific, you know the latest, no, with bacteria. They're doing huge things now with understanding we need to respect.
We are many.
And we need to respect the bacteria.
Yes.
They're doing a thing where they're feeding bacteria now, so... Why shouldn't the kids know all about this, but with movement?
Yeah, I think I would have learned much more if the body would be involved in school. Just instead of sitting there and someone is telling something and my mind is wandering through fantasy world. But
kids learn through movement, it's proved. I'm a movement educator, so we know that before 7 they can't concentrate. They learn the most through movement.
Yes.
And then we make them sit at desks and say this is learning.
Mm.
This is violent.
Yeah.
It's really violent. And then I've got some teachers who are working with me and they're starting to let the kids move more.
Yes.
And they're seeing that they're learning much, much more.
Yeah.
Well, basically it's the capacity to enjoy movement for what it is. Joy, pleasure. Pleasure in the body, joy in movement. Big shift in perception and...
Then you can be silent and listen to what the teacher is saying.
If you've had enough motoring out. We call it motoring out. It needs to... You've got a nervous system that takes in so much information and then it needs to motor out in order to absorb and digest. And a lot of the information comes in through the front body, and actually we receive information through the back body. So it comes in through the back body, and then at some point we've taken in so much you need to move it. So it either integrates or motor, we call it motors through. And then the system finds its own balance again. It finds its own regulation. The motoring, I call it motoring out, taking in, digesting, and motoring out. And if you look at the digesting time we have with the amount of information we're receiving in our society, there's not enough digesting time. So you're going to get digestive problems with kids. Because there's not enough time for them to have quiet time to just absorb the new information. So encouraging more quiet time on the ground and stilla.
Okay. So that's something parent could also do, just help the children to have time to be quiet.
Rest.
And to rest.
We're losing rest.
Yes.
We're losing the value of rest being an integration space. It's all about more doing action, and we're getting it critical without rest. So people, you have parents come home from work, they're exhausted. The only time they get to sleep is when they're exhausted. So you cannot recover. The bit before exhaustion is where you recover. The pot fills up.
Yes.
But if you go down into sleep in exhaustion, your pot cannot refill itself. So just lying there, not or you don't have to not do. You might want to read, but there's a place where there's this, the body can have time to assimilate what it's all taken in. That's a big one these days.
So just lying.
Yeah, because you're throwing kids in front of TV to entertain them, putting them in front of the machines. It's more information. Their systems are way overloaded. They're going to get completely emotional because they don't have, they don't know how to deal with this overload.
Yeah.
They don't know how to have space for the next information coming in.
What about listening to audiobooks, something like this for children?
What sort
in
of
the thing? Evening, some people, some parents...
So still information.
Still information. Huh?
Still stuff story, going in,
Okay.
It's still... A parent's voice is different to an audio book, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a... I don't think it's the same. I think the parent's voice has a chemical in it or something that... No, the rest is urgent.
Okay.
You see, you go to out in public and you see if a kid's sitting there, they're on the thing. So there's no absorbing time. There's no...
Yeah.
And it's encouraged. It's
not adults too. Like,
I know.
They're walking.
Yeah.
With a smartphone.
Yeah. There's no self-reflecting, like not anything happening. It's not a non-doing time. It's really not doing is, it's not doing, it's really integrating, having nothing where the system can digest and integrate. Very, 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 very important.
Okay.
For all of us to learn. No? Yeah. It's not just the kids, but look at the massive amount of information those kids have to take in.
Thank you.
And then the parents put that pressure on them, so both are in a pressure pack. So if you just look at the amount or the need for having a sense of where you
where
are.
Where
you are. Feet, breath.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's resting time in the evening. This sounds like something I want to try together with my kids.
Yeah.
Instead of
the yielding. You can do it consciously, yielding, where you get lots of pillows and you find different ways of snuggling into the pillows. And if you lean on your back, what happens? And if you lean on your belly, what happens? And what happens to your breath when you lean on your back, or you... What happens to you? You've got the breath as a way of being in the moment, and you've also got the sense of where your boundary is.
Yeah.
This is what kids are losing, is the boundary. And what I've taught a few is this feeling of, what if you are in a situation, you're at school, everything's getting too much, what if you just take your time to really feel where's the...
boundary of my body.
Yeah, where do you feel that edge of you?
Yeah.
By touching and squashing and squeezing it, what's that give you? Some others, we have a practice of breathing 3 times when something happens.
Yes.
To recover, just withdraw and watch the rhythm of the breath.
Before reacting.
Yeah, take a little pause.
Yeah.
That's working. And then the other is, what if you just get up and move? What if you just get up and feel your feet on the ground? Yeah. And know the earth is down there holding you. Yeah. Somebody's there for you. She's there. What if you find her again? And a big one is being able to find corners.
Mm-hmm.
Corners are very supportive.
Okay.
To go and snuggle into, or when do you want to hide somewhere under a container? With container, blankets, tables.
Okay.
Build a fountain of cushions, so you can find where you are and feel your place.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Container. I remember walking outside with a kid who was hysterical, and I think it was raining, and I said, we get the umbrella and now we're going to put a blanket over the umbrella. What happens? And she was so quiet. The mother said later, what did you do? I said, we just found a container.
Wow.
Just a container.
Yeah.
So,
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story and the whole lot of information you gave us. And I also want to say thank you for the work you're doing. I really appreciate the kind of work you're doing. Yeah. There's a lot of love. And this wonderful humor. This is so touching. And it's so important that we find back to our body. So
thank
you. Yes. Mm. Thank you for that.
Mm.
Thank you very, very much.
Mm.
I have some final questions.
Mm.
When you think back to your parents, what was there missing that you have to learn on your own?
Container.
Later. Container.
Mm.
Okay.
Care.
Oh.
Care was the biggest one, I think, to relearn care and being cared for, the feeling of being cared for, without asking or, you know, backing back. And I feel that really comes back as a major ingredient in how I survived. First of all, the care and the...
when you cared for yourself. And you mentioned the care coming from the outside too.
Yeah, how to receive.
Receive.
If you've grown up with parents who weren't really there, then you learnt to be self-sustainable and didn't realise that it comes from outside. That the first was, it comes from... that we're able to know how to take care. And it's not little. Taking care of ourselves is really not little. It's been denied, not just from my side, but for most. We've been trained how to function, but not to take care.
Yeah.
So I really like this word, care, and it's a practice for me. Understanding. That's been, I realize understanding is love.
Yeah.
When I can understand them, and
yeah.
It's love. Then there's you know, when you come around the other stuff, the understanding
yeah.
builds a bridge somehow. Everything else dissolves then with the understanding.
Yes, that's a bridge. Yeah.
Thinking
of your parents, what are you grateful for?
Humour.
Humour. From your parents?
Yeah, when it was there.
Yeah.
Yes. And love of nature.
Oh.
Mm. Very, and creative. Creative. We did sing and play when there were the times. Yeah. And space. Growing up in Australia on the land, it's just been this incredible
Sounds beautiful.
Love of incredible, just space, incredible space. And because they weren't really there, then I had a lot of time on my own, which did create a resilience, a courage to move away into
the world.
Yeah. There was nothing to hold me, so it was very easy to...
Sounds like freedom, yeah.
Yeah. In the other side, it was freedom, because it was not there, this other. And then to return and understand is the balance, you know, the whole thing now. So they've taught me with the freedom also the need to complete, the need not to avoid what misunderstandings have been there. I feel in order to live love, which is my prayer, that means also understanding where they came from, as their stories and their the compassion for me is, or the gift I understand is that we've learnt now to have tools to be able to say that's what I'm feeling or that's what I need, and they didn't have that. They had to really work in struggle, and what that generation had to go
Other
through.
Other kind
now.
Of story. Yes.
Oh, but they didn't have the tools, and there's where big compassion comes now for. The fact that we survived with that journey.
The last question, if you have to name three truths to tell young parents or expectant parents, three short truths to take care of in order to raise a kid, what would that be?
To know their own truth.
To know their own truth.
Yeah. That would be the first on the list. To really, the orientation is on truth, and the commitment to truth is the foundation. It's there. It's a source to feed from.
Yeah.
Because in order to accommodate to the challenges that's very evident in our society with not truth, not with a system that's not
authentic. So truth is the first.
Yeah. And I feel truth and love are the same. They go. They're not different. They're not. And the ability to find stillness.
Yeah.
For themselves is essential.
Yeah.
The stillness in the stillness is also the love, the compassion and the understanding. And move. Just really make sure you've got that movement in your life. And not joy to move, not joy to move and joy to discover the health potency that lies within. When a parent is able to live that trust in their own health potency and inspire their children to also understand they have that and live that must be such an incredible gift to pass on.
Oh,
it's
sounds beautiful.
Really, really, really. This is really, really.
Thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, and there's nothing wrong with the medical system. Mm. The doctors help put that Band-Aid on, but it's not the Band-Aid that heals the finger. No, it's the source within the finger that heals it. Mm. Just to turn that around, that the parents live that.
Yeah.
And then get their kids,
yeah,
not teaching them, just living it with them. Oh, connected to the nature. No?
Yeah.
Can you imagine taking kids out into the nature and saying, look what this is good for, and that's good for this, and that herb is good for this, and that. Love of nature. God. I think love of nature actually goes before the healing.
Yeah.
It was the same, no? The wonder.
Yeah.
Wonder.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Wow, that was a deep one. If you want to get in touch with Navanita, check out her website, navanita.net. And there's a couple of blog posts on her page. She has done 2 CDs and 1 DVD. The DVD is about yoga stretching and the CDs are guided meditation. I highly recommend you check out Happy Cell. This is one of the CDs, a guided meditation. Very, very easy to do, I think. And on the other side, it's going so deep. So this is a loving meditation to get in touch with your body. Navanita is one of the persons, when she's in Cologne, every time she's in Cologne, I get in touch with her and I book at least 2 private sessions because this is so awesome to work with her. So whenever you have a chance of seeing her live, just drop in and please visit one of her seminars or take part in one of her morning or evening classes or even take a private lesson. When we speak of events, there are a couple of events coming up. Speaking of events, there are a couple of events, of my events, which are just around the corner. First of all, Circle of Fathers or Der Kreis der Väter, starting in February. Then there is a seminar for parents. This is in May, and then there might be another evening seminar, free of charge, by the way, in March or April. All information you find in the show notes on my website. That's all for now. Thank you for listening so much, and I hope to see and hear you soon. Bye.